Steve Gruber is America's voice.
You hear a lot about the impeachment process, the process part of it. The breaking of precedent by the Democrats by going behind closed doors, not holding a formal vote. Each of the three times an impeachment inquiry was held in previous administrations, Johnson, Nixon, and Clinton, there was always a formal vote taken by the House before they began. That has not happened this time. And now the House members are behind closed doors, meeting secretly, asking questions, not allowing the transcripts to be released. If they're so convinced that it's damning evidence against the president, why would they not just release the transcripts and say, we've got the goods and here it is? Because Adam Schiff has told us that for years, but it's not a fair process. And I don't care who you're for. It's not a fair, it's not an honest process. Joining me now, William Wagner, Professor Emeritus, former federal judge, former federal prosecutor, a guy that's been around the block once or twice. Professor, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be back again.
Good to have you here. All right, so this process, non-transparent, secret, unfair, it offends anybody who believes in just general fairness, doesn't it?
Well, that's the great thing about our Constitution. You know, it sets this thing up, and for better or worse, in Article 1, Section 2, it says the House of Representatives gets to choose their speaker, and they have the sole power of impeachment. They get to make their rules up. Now, when the Constitution gives power like that to a branch of government or a particular house in a particular branch of government, you know, they also have to comply with the other parts of the Constitution. And Article 5 says you can't deprive somebody of their liberty without due process. Now, the fact that the Democrats in the House are operating under rules that have no transparency, that are like something you might see in a banana republic somewhere, where there is, you know, no rule of law, you know, that's going to come back, you know, I think, to bite them. Because,
well, I want to jump, you know, in on that, because
in our country,
this is important.
Fairness matters.
Yeah, I want to jump in on this because a big splash this week when Judge Andrew Napolitano at Fox News says, oh, by gosh, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to. They're following the House rules. The House rules put in by John Boehner in 2015, he claimed. Well, then reporting came moments later. Britt Hume contacted John Boehner, a friend of his, and said, what about this? Boehner said, we didn't change any rules at all that would affect this. Judge Napolitano was flat out wrong or lying or both. And the rules have not changed. And the rules say that any member of Congress would be entitled to seeing the transcripts of these hidden secret meetings that are being held in these secret chambers behind closed doors. And so it makes me wonder, why are so many legal experts on TV so wrong, or in this case, appearing to be dishonest?
Well, Judge Andy, I don't know what to say here. You know, part of the reason on pundits on TV is they have an agent instead of a background in actual constitutional law, and so sometimes you get that. And the great thing here is that you don't have to be a lawyer to go to the Constitution and read the Constitution and see that, you know, okay, the Constitution gives the House the power to do this, but the Constitution also limits that power and says you have to use due process. Now, if the Democrats want to not use due process, our founders were brilliant. They had a safety valve in the sense that the Senate, you know, has the power to try these impeachments. You've already got a Senator Lindsey Graham that has filed a resolution, and it's supported by the Senate Majority Leader McConnell, you know, recognizing this process as wholly illegitimate because of the way they're conducting themselves. And so, you know, you got to wonder if you hold.
You have to wonder about
closed doors and then selectively leak what you want the press to hear, and then you have a press cooperating with it. You know,
what I have to wonder about, Professor, I got to jump in here. What I have to wonder about is how honest Lindsey Graham is from day to day. I love that he comes out and says, we have got to get to the bottom of this. This is, if we were doing this, you would beat the out of us. And he says these things. And yet he has the power to subpoena. He has the power to make this transparent. He has the power to put this in front of the American people. He is doing nothing. Now, Having said hold on.
See, that's because the process isn't there yet. You know, if you're talking about impeachment, you know, that he doesn't have the power to subpoena anything yet because that part of the process has not moved to the Senate yet. Now, investigating and the conduct of other types of things, absolutely, the Senate oversight committees have, you know.
Right. Now, hold on, because he can certainly call witnesses. It doesn't have to be a formal inquiry. We've learned that. The Democrats can call whoever they want. So why would Lindsey Graham be prevented from calling whoever he wanted?
Well, they certainly can if the process moves to the Senate.
I'm saying now.
I'm going to guess the reason they're not doing it now is they don't want a two-ring circus. The House has got a three-wing circus going on already, you know, over in these committees. And the fact that they've chosen the committee that they have to conduct this so-called inquiry, they did that intentionally so that nobody could come in the door. Normally, you've got national security matters coming before that committee. So they do everything in secret, and then they selectively leak the stuff that is most damaging. And you know what? Finally, the press, and I mean in a very small way, is starting to report this. And so the people aren't going to stand for it. I think there will be a number of hardcore leftist Democrats that probably will, you know, have no problem with it. But the majority of the country, once they see how this is occurring, if the American people are anything, Steve, they're fair.
Let me ask
and
you this.
They really get upset when people treat other people unfairly.
Let me ask you this, because there's been a big shift, big news breaking yesterday, that the investigation by John Durham now into the origins of the Russia investigation has now transitioned into a full-blown criminal investigation. He has the power to subpoena, the power to assemble a grand jury, and I'm going to guess this has already happened, and the power to issue criminal charges. Two of the people he really wants to talk to are James Clapper and John Brennan. How significant is this development?
That's really significant because we're no longer talking about the possibility of somebody losing their law license or having some type of employment action taken about them. Now you've actually got a recognition that there is felonious criminal activity going on. And it's not going to be this particular prosecutor that's going to bring charges. It will be a grand jury. The people's grand jury will look at this, and therefore it will have much more legitimacy than any public official making the accusation. It'll be a jury of their peers that will assess the evidence. And again, this is something completely different than what's going on in the House of Representatives.
And by the way,
you have due process.
Let me ask you this.
You have real evidence being put forward.
Let me ask you this last question. Former CIA Director John Brennan says he's not interested in appearing in front of John Durham and answering any questions. Can he dodge that? Or because Durham has subpoena power and a grand jury, does he have the power to enforce that? You've got 30 seconds.
Well, he has a right as well, though, under the Constitution. It's a right of against self-incrimination. And what you're hearing when he's saying that is him spinning the situation in a way that he hopes the press will report it. But what he's really saying is that I don't dare go in front because I would have to assert my right to not incriminate myself.
Professor William Wagner, always a pleasure. Professor Emeritus, former federal prosecutor and judge. We'll be back to check in on you sometime soon. Thank you so much, my friend.
Great being with you, Steve. Have a great day.
There you have it. William Wagner, everybody. Quick break. We'll be right back. You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't. But when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.